Hey guys, it's Matt here, the founder at Sweat Elite, and welcome back to the Sweat Elite podcast. This is another episode of Training Talk. The Training Talk podcast series was put out on the Sweat Elite podcast feed, the feed that you're currently listening to this podcast on right now, for free up until about 2 weeks ago when it was put into the Shareholders Club, which is a new area where Sweat Elite supporters can support the content at Sweat Elite and access 100% of the content that Sweat Elite produces. Sweat Elite puts out about 75% of its content, about three quarters of the content, for free on the internet, on YouTube, on the podcast feed that you're listening to right now, and in articles on the Sweat Elite website. There's about 465 articles now about elite running training that we've sourced over the last 6.5 years. And yeah, something like 350-something videos on the YouTube channel and over 100 podcasts. So why did we create the Shareholders Club in the first place? Well, I'll be brutally honest. It's very hard to get sponsors to cover the costs of an operation like Sweat Elite. Because Sweat Elite travels all around the world, you know, not only me, there's plenty of the staff members as well, it's really expensive to produce this content. And brands are often a little bit reluctant to sponsor content if it's not their own. So, for example, I've had discussions with brands like Adidas and Nike and Asics, and they sponsor little bits and pieces here and there, but we often want to produce a lot more content that they're just not in a position to sponsor. They tend to sponsor their own content a lot, which makes a lot of sense, but we really do, to be honest, need additional funds to cover the costs of what we do. So we created a shareholders club, which basically allows people to support the content, but also access all of the content that we produce. So I thought it was fair to basically put out about three quarters of the content for free, and about a quarter of it is for the true Sweat Elite supporters. So I invite you to become a Sweat Elite shareholder today. It's over at www.sweatelite.co/shareholders. You can just find it too in the menu at the sweatelite.co website. It's a big blue button. But by signing up, you will access all of the podcasts and all of the articles. And this particular episode is just one of many episodes of the Training Talk series. So they come out every single week, but I'll be dropping one of these on the main feed about once a month, just as a teaser to see if you enjoy it. And if you do enjoy it, I'd appreciate you joining us over on the Shareholders Club. It's only $10 a month or $99 a year to sign up. So I do like to use some perspective here. $10, at least in the United States where I am now, is a little bit less than the cost of a regular lunch if you eat it out. And $99 is obviously about half the cost of a good pair of shoes. So we'd love your support. We really would. And I invite you to join us over in the Shareholders Club today. But this episode is an episode where I talk all about my training, and Luke Keogh, one of my good friends and 227 marathoner, joins me. I sometimes have other guests join me as well, but Luke's joined me for the last couple of weeks. And we talk all about training. We analyze training. We talk about our own training. We talk about other people's training. And yeah, you'll get a good taste for what this is by listening to this episode. I hope that you enjoy it. And once again, you can join the Sweat Elite Shareholders Club at www.sweatelite.co/shareholders. Hope to see you over there.
G'day, mate. Did I do that properly? That's how you say g'day, mate. Is that right in the Irish? How you doing, Luke?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Not how you say g'day, and it's an Australian expression.
Well, that's how you always send me voice notes, so I thought I'd try and do my best to do an Irish accent, but an Australian saying. G'day, mate.
You nailed it.
Yeah. I don't know if you're really all good, because you told me just before that you're a bit tired. How was the workout this morning?
I am absolutely cooked. I'm done. Yeah, I'm done. And it's weird because, so it was, you know, it's a five, I think you might have seen, but for those listening, haven't, like I was saying last week, you know, it's 5K specific type stuff to try and get faster at those shorter distances for the next few weeks. And man, it was tough. It's a tough workout in general, but this morning in Houston, it was like 80 degrees, whatever that is in Celsius. Well, my brain's too fried to even attempt it.
That's cold for Houston.
Yeah, exactly. 80 degrees. I think the humidity was like over 90%. It was just a soup. Like, it was horrible. And I was just, I don't know, like, I'm sure people can empathize, but when it's that hot, there was like a stage halfway through some of the reps where I could feel like my brain was actually heating up. That's like funny. Like, literally, that's not an exaggeration. My brain felt hot. And I was like, I was only halfway through the workout.
Well, according to your Strava log, it was, feels like 29 degrees Celsius, which is 84.5 degrees Fahrenheit, and 89% humidity. So
sounds about right. And that was at the beginning. as well. It only got warmer.
So this is Tuesday, the 7th of May, and we're recapping last week, but just give us a little bit of an overview as to what you did this morning. And we'll talk about it obviously in detail next week.
Yeah, this morning was just, so speed work, like I was saying, 2 mile warm up, and I was cooked after the warm up, I'm going to be honest. I knew it was going to be tough. And then I did kind of like a sandwich workout. So I started with a mile at my goal 5K pace. Like on my Strava, it says 5K pace, but that's my goal. So I hit that at 4:57 per mile. Then it was five sets of 200 fast, 200 jog, 200 fast, 200 jog, and 400 fast, 400 jog. So five sets of that, that's 5 miles total, five sets. And then finish lactate, cooked, all that good stuff. Finish with another mile at 5K pace for, I managed 4:57, but I was dying doing it. And the 200s, when I say fast, the 200s were, I tried to get around 30 seconds. I think I probably averaged around 31 seconds for the fast 200s. And the fast 400s were probably averaging around 69 seconds.
Damn, dude, that's a hard one. The miles at 5K pace is brutal in the heat. I mean, the miles at 5K pace is brutal even in good weather. I feel like doing a mile at 5K pace is really hard in training.
Yeah. So again, if anyone has listened to last week, keep in mind a lot of what I've said, a lot of caveats, like I'm learning, right? And so this is what I did with this workout. This workout I took from, what's it called? Daniel's running formula. So Jack Daniel's running formula. It's amazing. Love it. This workout was prescribed by him in the 5K, 10K section of his book. And the workout is actually just six times the 200, 200, 200, 200, 400, 400, right? So what I did was, this is how my brain works.
You just made it harder, didn't you? Jack Daniel's wasn't enough.
Yeah. So like I'll take one set away. So it's not six, it's five. And then I'll do 5K mile, a mile of 5K pace at the beginning and then a mile of 5K pace at the end. And it's definitely harder. And it hurt. But you know what? I'm still glad I did it. I didn't come away from the workout going, that was stupid. You know when you do a workout and you're like, man, that was way too hard. I went far too deep into the well there. Hand to God, I know I'm complaining, talking about how cooked I am, but I don't feel that way. Like it was a hard workout, but it should be hard in the sense that like that last mile, I honestly think that was smart to just like, I was hot, I was tired, my legs were feeling that lactic that you're, and then it's like, this is what that third mile, that's how I think, you know, like being in America. You know, that's how that third mile is going to feel, that last mile of the 5K. You're going to feel like this. You're going to feel trash. You're going to feel, legs are going to be jelly. And you have to keep, this is your goal. You're 4:57, 4:58, 4:59 per mile pace. So just do it. And I feel great in terms of like, my legs are grand. Like now, walking around and everything. I just feel destroyed, mainly because of the heat. Obviously, yeah, it's a hard work. But the heat is just, it, like, I promise you, if this was a few weeks ago when we were lucky getting like 40 and 50 degree weather, I'd feel pretty okay. Very tough workout. I'm not saying that, but I'd feel like, oh, yeah, I'd do that again.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at this workout and on paper, it just looks moderately hard. But then when you throw in the weather, it's brutal.
Yeah. That's what cooked me for sure.
Like if I just read this and didn't look at the weather, I'd be like, yeah, that's a hard workout. It's like 90% effort. Yeah. And especially that last mile at 5K pace is really hard, but it probably is, like you said, like a perfect stimulus to get into 5K shape because you're starting that last mile rep at 5K pace pretty tired. And then you have to do, yeah, basically how much is a mile? Like it's like 32% of the distance of the 5K race, which is quite a long way. So,
Yeah. So that's what was going through my mind. I was like, oh, I like that workout, but how can I make it a touch harder without dying?
Jack Daniels just isn't hard enough for you. How are those pancakes afterwards? They look like a dream. What's on that thing?
It's
and everything.
Yeah. So that's that is a controversial place. That is the, you were at the track in Houston. That's where we did that. Remember that, that other really hot workout? Supposed to be by a K or whatever. So it's that track, and they've opened up a new cafe right beside it, which you think, that's amazing. You don't have to go too far. It's like right next to the but because it's a cafe, you want a good coffee. They only do their own homemade cashew milk. Like with, like I like lattes and stuff, and so do most people, you know what I mean? And the cashew milk that they, cashew milk in itself is already garbage, but cashew milk that they make, it's like they've made it in the dumpster out the back. It like, it is woefully bad. But I was like, I'll give the food a shot. And so the it's masa pancakes. So it's like a corn, basically like a cornmeal kind of corn flour. And it's got this berry compote thing. And oh yeah, I was all over it. Lovely.
Have you let them know that, like, I feel like those sorts of things about the milk, it's a case where everyone's disappointed and complaining about it, but then no one just lets them know.
I was just the one of my friends with this, and we were talking about it last time we were there, and we were both complaining. And I think one of the ladies came up to me and was like, oh, what'd you think? And looked her dead in the eye and was like, amazing. Love it. Best ever.
You're just shocked.
I can't do it. I felt so bad. Just absolutely slaying her behind her, you know, like, oh, this is awful. The worst ever. And then, you know, they're all so nice and so friendly. And it's like, ah, it can't be mean now.
You can't even give them the truth.
Yeah, even though it's not being mean, you're actually giving them like constructive. But now I'll be honest, everyone there in Houston, I'm pretty sure no one likes it. So I can guarantee it, someone's had the courage to say it. So I don't think I'll stay smiley and just fake. That's my motto there.
That's awesome. So the week last week started on April the 29th. And according to your Strava, I knew you went to Boulder because you were like messaging me through that time just about different things. But yeah. I actually didn't realize it was on Monday. So it started the week. So how'd your week go? You started off with a run around the lake up near, up near Boulder Reservoir.
Exactly. Yeah. I was talking to you and a few other people to get some good recommendations, and everyone was pretty much saying the exact same places. So I got in, I did a run that morning, but I knew because I was only there in Boulder Monday evening, then Tuesday, Wednesday. And I had Tuesday was dedicated to Magnolia Road. Wednesday was a track. And I really liked the look of the Boulder Reservoir. So I was like, oh, I'll just do a double today. So I landed, ate something light, went to Boulder Reservoir. Just did, I think, one loop was like 5 miles. Is that right?
Yeah, 8.4K. Yeah, just over 5 miles.
Yeah. So just like 5 miles, take it easy. And it was amazing. Beautiful. Like, it's so nice. And I was chatting to some lad after it. I was taking like a million and one pictures of just like, the weather was unbelievable. Like the sun was out, but it was still like cool. I just snapping loads of pictures. Some outfielder came up to me, chatting to me, like giving me recommendations, talking about this, talking about that. And I was just like, man, I need to live here. Like, this is so much better than Houston. So that was that. Then Tuesday I went up to the famous or infamous Magnolia Road, which I'm sure majority of people listening to this will know what it is. For those that don't, it's famous because of all the runners that go out there to Boulder. You just have to drive about 15, 20 minutes up the mountains. And technically it's in a town called Nederland, right? And so Boulder, and this was my experience, and this was pretty funny. I was texting you and sending you messages while this was happening. So I wake up in Boulder, and we're 5,000 feet above sea level. And it was lovely. Another, like the sun was out, a little cool, but like, you know, you wear a t-shirt and you just have a lovely run. And that's what I was expecting. So I drive up the mountains. And when you drive up, you're going 5,000 feet up to like 8,500 feet. You're just going straight up to the sky. And I get up there and I'm like, seems a bit cloudy. And then I keep going and then boom, it's snowing. I'm like, oh no, why did I not check the weather? And I get up there, right there at the sign, Magnolia Road sign, and it's legit like coming down. Like, it's not just like a little bit of snow, like on the road or whatever. The snow was actually coming down and like smacking you in the face. And I was not prepared. And, you know, we were just talking about the heat, and that's what I'm used to now. So I'm like a baby in the cold. Didn't have anything. There it is. That's it. Yeah.
If you look, I'm Luke Strava. And by the way, if you, I guess we didn't spell out Luke's surname on the last podcast. If you want to follow over there, it's Luke and then K-E-O-G-H. But you've got a, on this run, you've got a 9 second clip of you driving down close to Magnolia Road. And it looks like you're going to go skiing. Like, it looks like you're on the way to go skiing. That's what it looks like.
Exactly. That's literally how it was. That's literally how it was. Yeah, it was mad. And then there's another video on there of me closer to Boulder, and it just looks like almost like a summer's day, you know? So I get up there freezing. I was like, yeah, whatever. You'll be all right. And I just went out, and I decided just to do out and back, five out, five back. And the first 5 miles is like just roaring downhill. So I was like coasting like almost 6 minute pace, just like, man, this 8,000 feet above sea level, this is a walk in the park. Like, what even is this? And then of course I flip around and it's a massive climb back to my car while dealing with the 8,000 feet above sea level. And it was, and the snow bouncing off my face, and it was tough, but it was a lot of fun. And I can see exactly why, you know, all the pros and everything go out there and do long runs on it, because it's just one big massive road that is not busy at all. Like, cars are rarely on it, and if they are, very respectful of pedestrians and stuff. So yeah, 10 miles on that, and that was fun.
I must say though, I was kind of surprised, because you sent me a voice note afterwards and you averaged 4:13 per K, which is 640-ish, 645, I think. And this is a really hilly road. I mean, your elevation gain in the run was 308 meters. That's got to be close to 1,000 feet. Over,
so,
what's that?
1,010 feet I have.
Yeah. And you're at 8,000 feet elevation here. I was really surprised at how that wasn't harder for you, because you said, you know, you ran it at like a moderate effort. And it made me really think back to something someone said to me once, in that altitude is weird, and that some people really struggle when they get to like this sort of elevation, 8,000 feet, and some people just don't. And I've never worked out exactly what it is. It seems to be a pretty basic correlation to me, that if you're already very aerobically fit, like marathon fit, like if you're already done a lot of like zone one, zone two, zone three, whatever. You can use the zone word, you can use the word of just like steady state or easy state aerobic running. If you've done loads and loads of that, people tend to get to higher altitudes and not struggle so much. But if you go there and you have not done a lot of aerobic work, maybe you've done a lot of like speed work, or you're just not that fit, it's so hard to run. And so I remember thinking about this after you ran this, and I was like, I'm surprised at how easy this was for you, because I feel like most people would really struggle to do that. But yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I think there might be an individual, like there might be an element of individual, like hemoglobin or whatever. I don't know. I don't exactly know what it is.
Yeah. And to get into the specifics, I'd be the same. I don't know exactly, but I think from experience, because, you know, I've been out running in Bogota, which is similar to Magnolia Road. It's like right around 8,000 feet also. And when I was out there, similar thing, honestly, like, I could feel it. I'm not going to say I couldn't feel the difference, but I wasn't dying by any stretch of the imagination when I was out there either. And especially when I'm going on an easier run, you know, quote unquote, like not a hard workout. And like the hardest part about that was just like the hills. And I felt like I would have been tough climbing up those hills at sea level. Like they were tough hills. I didn't feel. Then, and I say all that to say, and it's a good transition to the next day, I went, still in Boulder, Wednesday, May 1st, and I went to that Niwot High School.
Could you say the title of the log before you keep going?
Yeah, so this is my first workout, real workout, back after the London Marathon. And so the caption is just London Legs, Boulder Lungs, with the hand shaking emoji. basically my legs were feeling it and my lungs were feeling it. So yeah, I say all that to say, you know, I did Magnolia Road and I was like, man, I just must be a machine because I didn't feel that at all in my lungs. And then I did a workout and now what, which is back down to 5,000 feet. So it's not even as high. And so the goal was, I'll say the goal and I'll say the workout. The goal was, because I copied one of the lads that I run with, Drew, 4 mile tempo, then 4x600, 4x400, and then 4x200, and two up, two down, two warm up, two cool down. And I quickly realized I need to turn this 4 mile tempo into 2 2-miles, because once I was moving, like I was struggling to keep my goal marathon pace in the longer. Like it was just all in my lungs. It was like I had just gone out the night before and just ripped like two packs of cigarettes and just, I was struggling, just all in the lungs, just stinging. I was like, ah, there it is. There's the elevation. So that was tough. But then when I got into, so Yeah, the 2 miles, it was like 5:18 pace and 5:27. So that's the first 2 miles. The next 2 miles, 5:25, 5:23 per mile. And then I got down to the 600s and they were all pretty much right around 1:46.
That's really good.
So this is what I'm saying. So when I was doing the shorter stuff, I actually felt grand.
Yeah.
Soon as I started like a mile or longer, it was like, then my lungs were like, whoa, like calm down. So yeah, that was the 4x600, right around 1:46 for all of them.
Just quickly, 1:46, 1:46, 1:47, 1:46. That is, for reference, that is sub 15-minute 5K pace. It's like 14:55, 14:50 maybe even 5K pace, or 29:40, 29:45, 10K pace. It's pretty good for 600s. And like, you're right, I noticed the same thing. I feel like, I think it's something to do with the ATP and anaerobic. Like, you know, if you do an effort for like 40 seconds, you don't really use much of your aerobic system. Like the first six to 10 seconds is at ATP, and then it's like, and like it takes a while. And I think anything more than like 2.5, 3 minutes, it's exponentially harder when you're at high intensity. But anything like less than 2 minutes, and especially less than 1 minute at altitude, is actually not really any harder, I don't think, than sea level. It's kind of weird like that.
No, that's how it felt, honestly. Yeah, that makes complete sense, especially because of this workout. And then you'll get in, and then the 200s, or sorry, I didn't say the 400s, 4x400, 69, 69, 69, 70. And then 4x200, 28, 27, 28, 27.
Dude, you got some wheels. I didn't realize you could run 27 seconds for a 200.
Yeah, I can get moving with the 200s. And to be honest, I was probably shooting for like 30, but then there was a couple of lads there at the track. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. No, I swear to God.
You get to tell them who was boss.
This is how stupid I am. And people listening to my training every week, they'll realize this. Like I saw them there and I was like, man, like you have to rip these 200s now. Don't be like, you know, don't be holding back here. And so I was barely moving. And, you know, it was like the 200s were at the end as well. And I was like, that's a 200. You'll be all right. And that was it.
Do you know who the guys were?
No, I didn't. They just kind of looked the business. You know what I mean? Like it was like one lad and he kind of looked the part, and he had a fella there that was, had a little Timex, like actually checking his splits. And yeah, this seems like they know what they're doing. Who knows? They probably could have been absolutely no one. Just like me, just out there just for the crap. But they inspired me to rip those 28s. So good for them.
As long as they see you ripping and as long as they give you a kudos on Strava, that's all that matters.
That's literally all that matters. Nothing else.
True. And if they come and talk to you, though, you don't want a bar of that. You just leave me alone.
No, just follow my Strava and give me kudos. I don't want a real conversation. And then that was it. That was my Boulder trip, my little 3-day altitude camp back to Katy, Texas, May 2nd, 10 miles. Comfy wumpy, like a 6:30 base, maybe. Yeah, 6:32. And then, so May 3rd is a Friday. And I don't think I said this. last week. 9 times out of 10, I will do either a really hard workout on the Saturday or like a long run with a hard workout on the Saturday. And I'll always take the Friday off. When I say off, I mean 100% off. Like no yoga, no weights, no cycling. Won't even really go for like a walk or anything. I'll just off completely. And I've been doing that since pretty much I started taking running seriously the last 2 or 3 years. And I feel like it has benefited me like greatly. Like before a big race, like my goal race, marathon, what you name it, I'll take the day off before it, the day before it, completely off, just like that. I'll get ice and I'll do like Normatec boots and stuff like that. But yeah, I won't do anything. And took my third off, May 3rd off, pardon me. And then May 4th, went to the track with the lads, Bay City lads that I run with. And we just decided that they were going to do a hard workout. For the first mile, they were going to pace me to hopefully a PB. And my PB, my mile PB at the time was 4:37, which I ran during my London build. Again, I'm saying this stuff out loud and I'm like regretting saying it because it's making me come across really stupid in my training. But my 4:37 PB comes when I did a workout. I went to the track, ran 4:37, got a PB, had a little rest recovery, and I did 4x5K at marathon pace right after that as part of the workout. That's which is not that smart, but that's how I work out. And so I was trying to beat that. And so they ran 2K and they were running like right around 4:35-ish pace. And I came in at 4:33. So got my PB and then jumped in for the rest of the workout with them, which was 2x1K. I ran those at 3:05 and 3:03. 4x500. 82, 81, 86. I was kind of, I don't know what happened with the 86. And then 82. And then finishing with a mile at 5:10. And that was that. And then a long cool down, 7 mile cool down.
That's a hard workout, man. Like 1 mile all out, 4:34, which is fast. Like, yeah, that's good going. Especially, it looks like you were at least running the last part solo. There's a good video of you just looking like you're hunting down an animal of some sort, running in that pink singlet. But then to fit, like to get that lactic and then to go out and do 2x K. And your 500s are pretty fast. I mean, the 86, as you said, is a little bit of an anomaly, but the other ones are all like 2:45 per K pace, which is basically the same pace as you did the mile at, more or less. Yeah. And then to finish off with a mile at 5:10. That's a hard, you dug yourself a grave there. I mean, if you do an all out effort, even if it's 800 meters, but anything between 800 and, well, anything up, I was about to say up to 5K, but it doesn't stop there at 10K half marathon. If you then go and do a bunch of like hard efforts afterwards, oh my God, it's so hard. Yeah. Like you put yourself into a well immediately and then you have to go and do like another however many minutes you've done here of work, probably like almost 15 minutes of pretty hard running. Yeah, that's tough.
It was tough, but it was fun. I enjoyed it. Running with my mates as well.
Just love torturing yourself.
I do. It's good crack. Yeah. What else would you be doing?
Exactly.
May 5th, did about 13 and a half miles easy, and then finished with some strides, 100 meter strides. I think I did like 6. And then that, I think I want to do that now. I've been doing that since then. Like after every easy run, I kind of want to just do some strides, going about, 90%, 100 meters, and then just walking back 100 meters, complete recovery just for the mechanics and, not a workout. Just get the legs spinning, get them used to that. And then same again, which was yesterday, May 6th, 10 miles easy, 6 strides. And then this morning, May 7th, was the workout we started with, the mile, 5x200s and 400s and mile, a 5K pace. And that's it. That's the week.
I'm really curious to see how, because I think these strides after easy runs and after long runs are really good. I think they're really, like, I've heard of pretty much no one doing that and finding no benefit or no point in doing it. It's just getting into the habit of doing it, because so often you just really don't feel like doing that at the end of runs.
Yes, 100%. And especially here, like I did, what I say yesterday was 10 miles and it was hot and it was warm and it was humid and I was drenched and it was supposed to be an easy run, you know? And this is it from here on out until about October for everyone in Houston. You're going to be like that on every single one of your easy runs, just drenched. And so to be like, see your front door and be like, oh, man, I could go inside now and put the feet, like have a shower, put the feet up. And then you have to be like, no, I have to run pretty much all out to that lamppost at the end of the road and do that six times now. Yeah, it is. It's kind of a, it's more of a mental thing for sure. But no, I'm committed. Cause I think I felt better. Yes, I did it. And I was like, oh man, I actually feel better for doing that. Like, and I don't know. There's no, like, why would it not work? You know, teaching your body the mechanics to get the legs spinning, get them moving. And yeah, I don't see why it would be a detriment.
Yeah, for sure. How do you feel about doing another sub 100 mile week?
That's your thing. Like, I'm going to, so last week was like, what, 75, 76 miles?
75. This, 122 yeah, kilometers.
Yeah. This week will probably be around the same. And I feel like that's a big part of how, you know, I went really hard on Saturday and then really hard today. And if someone was like, you have to go really hard again, not tomorrow, but like Thursday, tomorrow's Wednesday, Thursday, I'd probably be like, oh, okay, you know, I'm ready to do it. Like, the difference in how you feel just in your everyday tasks, like around the house, doing your work, picking up the kids, whatever, you have so much more energy. It's unbelievable. Like when you're in the thick of those 100 mile weeks, especially when it's in the summer, you're like a useless zombie, like 90% of the time, just on empty. And not having that feeling is pretty amazing, I'll be honest.
Now, I didn't frame that question in any sense of having a go at you. I actually think that you're 100% on the right path with running,
no, I know.
Running a 220 or a 221 marathon at the end of the year. And I reckon if through the summer, you know me well enough and people listening would know that I'm not a big mileage counter, but I think rather than, like, for a very long time, and again, I don't think this was a bad idea. I think this was actually a good move. You focused on ticking off the amount of volume every week. And I think given that you started running, as you shared last week, you know, not so long ago, seriously, I think you needed that. You needed to bank a bunch of volume. But now that you're down to the level of 227, you know, you could argue you've been in 224, 225 shape before, just haven't come out. I think now reducing volume, and instead of the focus being hitting 100 mile week, the focus should instead be like nailing two workouts at 5K, 10K pace a week, and then getting enough volume in so that you feel confident. And I think if you had said to me, if you like, and you haven't done this, but if you asked me, like, what do you think volume I should be at in the next 4 months, I'd probably say exactly 75 miles. I'd probably say right around that.
Yeah.
And the focus should, instead of getting all the volume in, you should be getting enough volume in. And by the way, Luke's not asking me what to do. I'm just giving my opinion here. Making sure that you're nailing two of those workouts and really making sure that VO2 max system is being properly exercised. Like that, like those two workouts in the week are both like heavy VO2 max, right? Like really intense. I reckon that you're going to come out in 3-4 months in 14:45, maybe 14:35 shape in 5K. And that's what you need to run 221, 222. Like, it's pretty hard to run 221 if you can't break 15 minutes. And I don't know, do you reckon you've been able to break 15 minutes before?
15 minutes in 5K, me?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. And I think the main reason, there's a lot of reasons why I don't think that. But the main reason is I have never trained for a 5K, a 10K. And if you're going to get specific, and you know, people definitely could and should, I've never even really trained for a half marathon before. I've only ever trained for a marathon. I think that's a massive part of it. And so this is all new to me, you know, and it's going to take a while. And I know that, and I'll be patient with that. That's absolutely fine. I have no qualms about that at all. Like, first trying to go for a sub 15:30 and then doing more and then trying to go, you know, and then moving the needle slowly, you know, slowly but surely. And that I have no issues with that at all. Because I know that's how running works. But I definitely think, to get back to like your point, that's a big part of what I'm doing now and why I'm doing it, in terms of, you know, dialing that overall mileage back, so I can, like I was saying before, not feel like a zombie 90% of the time throughout my days. So I can show up on a Tuesday and on a Saturday at the track and just absolutely, not absolutely, but pretty close to empty the tank on these 400s, 800 mile, whatever it might be, and just rip, subjectively speaking, as hard as I can rip, so that my, you know, my VO2, you know, all of that stuff, you know, totally different energy system that I'm used to working is being worked really hard, so that in a few weeks or maybe even a few months, when I really feel like now is the time, because I should be clear, I'm trying to get this down, obviously for the same reason you're trying to get it down, so that, you know, marathon pace feels better. But I do also want to get a time on the board, you know, but I don't have any 5K or 10K set in stone. It'll probably just be a time trial, like with my mates pacing me. And so I do want to wait and just really rip at this, so that it does come a time in the next couple of months where I'm like, all right, here's a date, plug it in, tell the lads, and then give it a good rip when I know I've done correct training.
Well, how do you feel about joining me? I'm just going to put this straight on the podcast. In the middle of July, I think it's the 14th or the 12th, it's in the middle, there's a Tracksmith 5K in Chicago. Now, I've been trying to hassle you to come visit me in Chicago, so.
Is that the Twilight one?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, that's so funny. I was looking at the Twilight 5K in New York.
I think they're all over the place. I think they're all over the US.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. All right. Send me the details. I do like the looks of that.
Yeah. Well, we got a spare room now, man. You got to come and visit. So that'll be a good opportunity to rip it. Because that's perfect time away. It's like two and a half months.
Where do you think I'm staying during the Chicago Marathon?
Exactly. You got to come before then. All right. No, I'll plant that seed.
No, that's actually a good idea. July, all jokes aside, July is actually, that probably sounds like a really doable kind of time frame in terms of putting this training together. You know, we're still only the beginning, closing in on the middle of May. So yeah, I think that's doable for sure.
Awesome. All right, well, I'll quickly run through my week. I also arrived at altitude on Monday. It's just Flagstaff. Yeah. Luke arrived in Boulder. I arrived in Flagstaff on the same day. I did 11.4K, which must be 7.5 miles, something like that. 52 minutes, 4:35 per K. My caption here was like breathing through a straw. I think for me, it's always like, well, keep in mind, I'm at 7,000 feet. You were at 5,300 feet. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I was at much lower than you were at Magnolia, but I still found this run strangely hard. I think for me personally, because of so I forgot my asthma medication when I arrived, and don't ask me why. I just always forget stuff when I'm traveling. Always. I'm an idiot. And I think when I arrive at altitude where the air is really thin and dry, if I don't have asthma meds on me, it's almost like a lung restriction thing. So I think that's kind of what was happening there. And that's why I said like breathing through a straw. That was just an easy run. The next day I went down to the track and I tried to do my workout that was supposed to be 16 200s with a minute rest, and I didn't finish. I realized after a few 200s that I was going to struggle because my lungs were closing in on me. It was just purely an asthma thing. And so, yeah, I'm not going to go on about it or complain about it too much. But if you have asthma and the air is really cold and really dry, it just basically feels like your lungs are just closing up. It just feels like you just can't breathe properly. And so I did 8, and then I took a little bit of a break and thought I might try and do some more. And then I just remembered back to a bunch of things that a doctor told me a few years ago, that if you ever feel like that, it's pretty dangerous to push through that. So I decided to leave it and try it again later in the week and hopefully source some asthma medication. And so lucky, like these little situations make me really, thankful. I don't know, lacking a better word, but, one guy, a coach, Emmanuel, he saw this workout logged immediately afterwards. Now he's a doctor and he lives in Tucson, which is 4 hours away. And he immediately messaged me and said, "Hey Matt, I've actually got some asthma medication. If you take the same medication as me, it's this one. And I'm a doctor, so I actually have the legal right to prescribe it to you and give it to you, because I'd spoken to him before at length about the fact that I had asthma. And he vaguely remembered the asthma medication that I took, and he reconfirmed that. And he sent me the medication overnight. So I got it the next day.
Wait.
Yeah, I was so stoked. Like I was so, because I was thinking to myself, I'm going to have to go to a doctor. I'm going to have to get the medication. That might take several days. It's going to cost me probably $300-$400. I was like, great. I've got so much medication in Chicago. It's just so annoying. And then, yeah, he sent me some medication overnight. So I got on the medication the next day. But yeah, so that was 8 200s, didn't finish. Running at 29, 30 seconds for the 200s felt pretty good. It was just the fact that I just couldn't breathe properly. Like it's a weird feeling because like you feel physically fine as in your body, but then your lungs just can't breathe.
Yeah.
The next day.
Like the slight problem of not being able to breathe. Yeah, that can be a hindrance. Yeah,
I think with running, it's kind of important to be able to breathe.
A little bit, yeah.
I hate dropping out of workouts, and strangely, I actually drop out of workouts somewhat regularly, and it's usually just to do with my asthma. So later that day, I did 10K easy, 6.2 miles at 4:45 a K. I guess that's like 7:30 a mile or a bit slower. The next day, I had the opportunity to join your main man, Mr. Stephen Scullion. At least you come from the same country.
What a
legend. What do you think of Scully? This is a private podcast, so you can rip into him if you like. What do you think?
No, it's good. I'm of the same opinion as you. We've talked about him before. I think he's great for running, and especially because the way, you know, running is going now in terms of the YouTube content and all that good stuff. And like his YouTube channel is really amazing. And it's amazing for a lot of reasons, but I think one of the main reasons why I think it's great for runners, especially runners, you know, like us and people that are not elite, he puts out so much high quality information, not just like, here's a workout, blah, blah, blah. He like sits there in front of the camera and he just goes, and he's not waffling either. Like he goes in depth about, you know, I'm doing this lactate test and here's the reason why I'm doing it. And then I was feeling like this. And he's so open about absolutely everything, almost to a fault, some people might say, you know, but it's unbelievable. Like,
yeah.
And if we had more pros doing that, like that would be just like, everyone would be for the better for it, right? Everyone that's interested in running, that wants to learn and wants to grow, you're getting this elite top level, you know, Olympic level athlete. And he's literally just laying out his entire training and even the bad stuff. Like he's telling you, I did this and it was a stupid idea. I can't believe I did this. And then you're like, oh man, pros are kind of like me as well at times. Like he just did something that was absolutely, you know, ridiculous. That sounds like something I would do in training. He's great. I love him.
Yeah, you've summarized that really well. And I think I'll add to that and say, it's so interesting what's happened to the social media, and I'll bundle YouTube with that aspect in the last 6 years. And I think what we used to think in terms of putting content out there was, let's make sure we look perfect. That was how it was like until 5, 6, 7 years ago. And then the likes of Lionel Sanders came along. Now, I know you kind of, yeah, you know, you watch a little bit of his stuff. I watch all of it. And for those that don't know, I know that this is a running podcast, but he's a triathlete. He's probably ranked between 5th and 10th in the world at all times. We're closer to 10th, to be honest. Probably not so close to 5th at Ironman distance. And he has the most popular YouTube channel in triathlon. And I think the main reason why he's so popular is because he's so similar to Scullion in that he just talks continuously about what he's doing, but he's not afraid to talk about how stupid he is and how many mistakes he makes and how much he struggles with different things. And Scullion has grown faster than Lionel Sanders. Because he's basically taken, I've spoken to Scullion about this. Scullion did not replicate what Sanders was doing, but he is aware of the fact that he's quite a similar vibe. And Scullion just like his last video, I don't know if you watched his last one he put out like 5, 6 days ago. There's a scene in there where he talks about how after London, he was so depressed and had so much mental health struggle that he booked flights to like one to Bali, one to the US, one to somewhere else. And he's like, he was just like laughing at the fact that he's got like 4 different flights going in different places all around the world. And he was just like, who does that? Me. it was great to run with him. We spoke a little bit about, the fact that he doesn't know if he wants to continue striving for ultimate performance anymore. Even though he wasn't sure about that, and he very well may turn around on that idea. But I think he's kind of realized, and he shares this in his videos, right? He's like, I think he's realized that what's most meaningful for him is to create an audience and to share things that he learns. And he finds that more valuable and more meaningful than running a fast time. So right. It's going to be interesting.
I think that's important too. That's definitely important too. And I think he mentioned that in his immediate post London reaction video. I can't remember which pro it was, but I think he said one of the pros came up to him like in an elevator or near an elevator or something like that.
Emil Caress.
Was it Emil Caress? Okay. I didn't want to say and be wrong. Yeah. Because I thought he said him. And he was talking to him like, man, like, I love your videos. Like, and like even the pros are, do you know what I mean? And he's not, and you can tell though, because like he's like, that's great, but he's not doing, that's not his target audience. His target audience is, you know, people like us and people like, you know, but even like below, certainly just the average, like everyday runner that just wants to learn and wants to grow and doesn't have a fancy high-tech coach and high-tech training. And he's very, and I think that's why he comes across so well. He's very cognizant of that he has created a really good community, a really good following of people that are very appreciative of what he's doing. And I think that's important too. And you can see that. And it comes across in his video, I think, which is very genuine. And, you know, if you've got all that going for you on top of him being a top class runner, it's, you know, it's going to be a recipe for a really good, successful channel, brand, or whatever term you want to use.
Yeah. I think he's doing awesome things.
Yeah.
He is, you can tell by talking to him too, that he, and I mean, you can tell by listening to his videos, he is like very high IQ, isn't he?
Yes.
Like, he's incredibly, like the way he described in one of his videos, how glucose works and how the insulin response works. It's like, he really gets it. Like, yeah, he's doing super well. Right. Yeah, great to share 8 miles, 14K with him at around 7 minute mile pace in an hour. The Under Armour squad were down there, but I mostly just ran with him. They dropped back a bit. The following day.
Under Armour squad.
So, dude, so actually I told him, so this wasn't the first time I saw Scullion. I saw him the morning before, on the last day of April. And he was at the track. He was taking some photos of some athletes and I was down there too. And I shared with him about how you and I laughed at that photo.
Yeah.
I told him straight to his face. I said, dude, because he was talking about the Under Armour situation where he wasn't sure if he'd continue with the contract with them. I don't know I probably shouldn't share that reasoning because it's a little bit personal, but I can share the fact that it was around the shoes. And it was about the fact that I probably shouldn't go into that, but it was through the shoes. He wasn't stoked with the shoe situation there. But I did tell him that you and I had a good laugh in Texas at his post about how when he returned to Under Armour and the photo that he used with his arm pumping up from the air with the Under Armour logo. And
the day before, it's no Under Armour, that's it. Pack, and next day, him full Under Armour, head to toe, fist in the air, chuff. We're back, baby.
Man, he's such a character. Yeah, anyway, good to share some miles. The next day on the 2nd, I did a 10K run. Oh, good this morning. On that morning, I ran a little bit quicker, ran closer to 6:35. And then after that, I joined Ryan Hall. So I ran early because I had a 7:30 filming job with Ryan Hall and Simba, who is preparing for the 25K champs next week. So it was cool to join them down Lake Mary Road. Good to have a chat with Ryan about. Well, I didn't speak to him for very long, but you'll see the video come out pretty soon, probably. The following day, I was filming the Under Armour and New Balance group down in Sedona, and I did my 16200s that I attempted on Tuesday. So this is now Friday. I attempted it again at low altitude with 2 days of asthma medication, and I did this workout quite well, actually. So I managed 16200s, 1 minute rest, 29 to 30 seconds each rep. So that's right around 4 minute mile pace, slightly quicker. So this was at 1,350 meters or 4,500 feet elevation. So a tad lower than Boulder. I did this one pretty well. Like as we said already, that the efforts when you get below a minute at this altitude probably don't really affect you that much anymore. And I noticed that. I feel like this would have been the same as doing it at sea level. I was happy with this. I probably could have done another 5, maybe more.
So yeah, it was a good workout. And to be honest, I was actually supposed to do 45 seconds rest. I only pushed it to 60 seconds because I thought I would need it with the altitude. But in retrospect, I probably should have kept it at 45. I reckon I could have been able to do that. So that was Friday. On Saturday, I ran early in the morning, 13.5K, which I guess is, do you have my Strava up there? Because I know that yours shows in miles.
8.39.
Thank you. 4.35 per K. Let me guess. 4.35 per K must be 7.35.
Mm-mm. No, man. That's as far off as you've been. You've been pretty close.
7.22.
Oh, very close. 7.23.
That, yeah. Well, my brain immediately went, well, 5 minutes a K is 8 minutes a mile. So 4.35, yeah, it's got to be less than 7.35, yeah. So 7.20-ish. An hour and 2 minutes, I had a chat with my co-coach, Casper Peterson, who does the triathlon coaching we spoke about. I might be going to, not sure yet, but I might be going to watch the T100 triathlon race in San Francisco in the second weekend of June because he's going. So I might visit him. And then on Sunday, another DNF. I had two DNF workouts this week, but they were both due to asthma. This is what happens to me every time I go to Kenya as well. I start dropping out of half the workouts because I can't breathe properly. It's really annoying. But on this particular day, I got really unlucky because my asthma medication basically... So I was diagnosed with asthma when I was 28, which is much later than usual. And on my diagnosis, I was diagnosed with a pretty severe reaction to cold, dry air, but also dust. And the medication solves the cold, dry air problem, but it doesn't solve the dust problem. It never has. So in Kenya, when it's really sandy and dusty, the medication doesn't really work. And unfortunately, this particular morning, it was really windy. It was 30 mile an hour wind. And I didn't even think about the fact that there's a heap of sand and dust on the side of the roads in Flagstaff that's just blowing everywhere when it's windy. And so I probably should have gone to the treadmill for this, knowing that it would have been like that, but I didn't realize it was going to be dusty. So I ended up doing, it was supposed to be 60 minutes moderate with 30 minutes at threshold. So the 60 minutes moderate, I was thinking I'd go around 4 minutes a K or 6.30 a mile. And I was thinking about doing 30 minutes after that at probably close to 5.30 a mile, maybe 5.35 a mile, sort of 3.30 per K roughly. But I really failed. The 60 minutes at the start was fine. I got that done, 3.50, no, right around 4 minutes a K. But then I only managed 12 minutes at not even 5.30s. I think it was close to 5.40s. And I was really struggling to breathe at the 12-minute mark. And the moment that I stopped was a moment where I saw in front of me, I was running down this straight road, Flagstaff, Lake Mary Road, and I saw this big dust cloud from the wind blow in front of me. Like I saw it blowing from one side of the road to the other. And I just went, no, this isn't happening. And my original idea was to finish off the threshold in the afternoon on the treadmill. Cut a long story short, I couldn't get on a treadmill. And so what I did was the following morning, I did a 60-minute run with the last 30 minutes at threshold. And the next morning, there was no wind. So I got it done the next day. Yeah, that was my week. I did less than you. I did 91K, which must be, that's so low. I'm always logging really low weeks. I usually think it's a little bit higher, but it's still pretty low. That is 56 miles.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So real quick on that 60 plus 30, if that was, if you log the 60-30, is that just like straight through, like you're trying to get 60 steady and then just hit lap and then boom, you just roll that in? Or what?
No, I mean,
that in a goal scenario.
I think in an ideal world, you probably do that. I didn't do that. I took a quick stop and I took some carbs on board. I don't really think it matters that much if you take a stop and drink some carbs and go again. I guess I wasn't organized. I didn't have any gels on me at the time. So I wasn't able to carry, I guess I could have carried a drink, but I thought to myself as I was driving, I'm going to take a quick stop and have some energy drink after the 60 minutes. So we did 30 out, 30 back, had a drink and then started the 12. You know, right. You probably could have done exactly what you're saying and split. And to be honest, in a 90 minute run, you might not even need carbs, but yeah, we just decided to have a quick break. I mean, one of the guys I was running with wanted to change shoes between a pair of,
right.
I think, Invincibles and Vaporflies. So
yeah. So I guess I'm more asking this, like, you're a coach, right? If you were to prescribe that for me, like,
yep.
you've got a 60-30 workout. In an ideal world, would you tell me as your athlete, this is 90 minutes start to finish?
Good question. Oh, great question. Okay. If we're nowhere near a key race, I would say feel free to take a bit of a break between the two. Okay. If it's a race simulation race and you're doing, say, a different workout of, okay, let's say the prime example of, I program this for most people with 2 weeks before a marathon, 2 to 3 weeks before a marathon. We'll do 2x10K with 1K in between. And that workout, I think you should not stop because it's a race simulation and you want to practice being in an uncomfortable position and your mind having to deal with that. So I think when the days come closer to the race and there's specific race simulation workouts, you should practice not stopping. I think when you're ages away from a race and you're just trying to get the amount of time or volume of a specific intensity in, I don't think it matters if you take a little bit of a break in between them that much. I think it's not ideal if you take 10 minutes, right? But like if you take 2 or 3, I think in this case, we probably took 4 or 5. I don't remember. You can probably see on the Strava with the elapsed time, but we just took a quick break, had a drink, changed shoes and went. So but to answer your question, it's a good one. I think it depends how close you are to a race and if the race is a race simulation or not.
Okay. Yep. Makes sense.
Yeah. But if someone said to me, hey, I want to do the whole thing straight through, I'd be like, go for it. Cool. I don't think it really matters that much.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Makes complete sense.
So what do you got going on this week?
What do we have? What are we? Tuesday, some easy miles. Friday off again, and then Saturday there's this cool thing here in Houston called the LP Run, and I don't fully understand why it's the. I'm going to explain to you what the race is, right? And you're going to be like, "What is?" I don't fully understand. So what it is, we're going to Rice University. That's where the race is. Lovely track there, and the goal is you have 33 1/3 minutes, so 33 minutes 20 seconds to complete as many laps as you can in that time. Why that time? I don't know. I need to ask one of the lads. I looked it up and I couldn't find it, but that's it. I did it last year and it was a lot of fun, and it's just, so to me it's just like, that's a hard, it's going to be a hard tempo. You know, this morning I did the shorter speed development stuff, this Saturday I'll do a tempo, and the goal for me would be you know, at least get a 10K in during that time, if not faster. And one of the lads, Matt, you know, Matt, he's doing it too. So try and stick on his heels as long as I can, probably until he burns me. And that'll be it. And then Sunday again, easy miles and some gym in between.
What shape do you reckon you're in right now for 10K if you had to rip a race? And let's just say I'm asking you privately, even though we're publishing this.
Okay, so let me lie. No. Do you know what? If the way, you know, because what shape am I in perfect conditions and what shape am I in Houston, right? Those are two different things.
Well, I learned that at the half marathon that I paced you at in February, right? Like you ran 111, but like that was worth it, probably 108.
Yeah, probably 104. But that's like a soup down here at the moment. So that'll be hard. But if I was, my PB again is not very, it's not very fast. Like I'll tell you right now what my PB is. I think it's like 32. How do you check that? 32 high. Let me see. 10K.
You got a statistics?
Yeah,
I got it. Section. Then you get a 10K. Yeah.
Gotcha. Again, 32:48. I think it says.
Yep.
And again, that was during a workout. I did 2x1 mile straight after at 5:03 and 5:02. And so like, that's like my PB, you know, I definitely think I'm in better shape than that, which is like around 5:16, 5:15 per mile. I think right now, if I had a day like that, I want to say, yeah, it was like 50 degrees near perfect temperature, perfect conditions, low humidity. If I had a day like that, I'm definitely in better shape than that. So I don't know. I might try and go out at that pace on Saturday and, around 5:15 per mile and see how I'm feeling. If I can hang on to that and kick, that'd be great. If I melt in the heat, then I'm fully prepared for that too, since that happens on 90% of the runs here anyway. So I think that'd be the goal.
Looking forward to seeing how you're going, how you go. Sorry, we will recap that next week. I've just got a very similar week. I got 10 300s to do tomorrow on Wednesday. And then on the weekend, I got the same long run, just a long run with 90 minutes. And then I've got a run, also an easy run with 10 150 meter hill sprints, which will be good. Plenty of speed going on.
Well,
because I'm ready to race you in a 5K in about 9 weeks.
Yeah, it'll be such a good race, such a close competitive race, I'm sure.
I don't know, man. Some of those workouts you've been doing lately, I reckon I'd have a hard time keeping up.
So that's what I do. I work out so hard that I can't race properly.
Seems like a
sin. But no, jokes aside. I am curious, like, if we, so we're, let's say we do, we go all in on this Twilight, is it mid-July, you said? Somewhere in July.
Yeah. I think it's the 12th or the 14th or something like that. But yeah.
So mid-July, Chicago, 5K on the track. What would all things going as well as they're going right now, and, you know, touch wood, God bless, no injuries, no problems, and you show up to as fit as you want to be, what are you going for, do you think?
Sub 14:10.
Sub 14:10. Okay.
Yeah. So I've never run a 5K race, but I have in 2019, I think it's on my Strava somewhere. I did a 10K race. I got into really good shape randomly at one point. This is early 2020. I ran Valencia Marathon in 2027. I took a week off and then I trained for like 5 weeks and I went to Kenya and I happened to just rounded myself into pretty good shape. And I did a workout in Kenya that was pretty good. I think I did 8x1K and 306 at very high altitude. And then I went down and on the way to Europe, I stopped in at Dubai and did the Dubai Marathon 10K. And I thought I'm going to shoot for sub 30. And I got sucked into a pack going through 5K in 14:40.
Oh my God.
And then
God.
I completely, yeah, you can, it's on my strap. I did the first 5K in 14:40.
Did you stay with the pack?
Yeah, I split 14:40 officially.
Oh my God.
And the 5K split was official because it was an official, it was like a World Athletics 10K race. So the 5K split was exactly 5K. And I went 14, I think it was 14:41 officially on the split on my watch. It was 14:40. And then I ran 30:52. So I closed in 16:20 something.
Just exploded.
Yeah, I think my 8th kilometer was 3:23, which is like 5:26 mile pace.
That's quite a difference. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my official PV at this point. It was a 5K split, 14:41.
So. Well, there you go. Then you can't be mad. It's not an implosion. It's a PB. That's how you should look at it.
Yeah, I got a 5K PB. I just missed my 10K PB as well. I was walking at the end, but I just missed it. But I guess I've probably been in 14:30-ish 5K shape a few times before marathons, but I haven't raced. You know, I just haven't lined up for a 5K. I mean, before I ran 220, 2 weeks, I think, before it, or 2.5 weeks before it, I did a 10K time trial in Denver in 30:45 at altitude. And I think I split that day 15:18. And so I think around then, if I raced a 5K, you know, sea level, it would have been 14:20, 14:30,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah,
But I didn't race one. I just didn't race one. I never have, really. So yeah, it'll be good. You get to see. But yeah, okay. So we'll round off by me asking you the same question. Mid-July, what do you reckon you'd be aiming for?
Oh man, that's so hard to say because, you know, so again, like my PB is not very fast. It's not as fast as I think it should be. I think it's like 15:40 something. Mm. I think when I was going for a sub 15:30, again, going for it at a time trial with lads pacing in a marathon block, you know? So like never training for it. So definitely sub 15:30, right?
Yeah. Oh, I reckon you've got to be going sub 15.
I don't think I have that in me quite yet. I definitely don't think I have that in me.
I think mentally you're a little bit stuck on your PBs, which are not legit PBs because you've never.
No, I'm not. I promise. No, I promise. I know hearing myself say that out loud, I'm not. The only reason I'm saying it is just as a reference point.
Yeah.
This is more for the listeners. Like if you and I were having this conversation, like I promise, like, and I'm not, I promise I'm not. It's just when I'm in it, when I'm in that 5K, it's just so different to what I'm used to. And that's why I'm like going so hard right now because I want to get so comfortable with that horribly uncomfortable feeling, which is what a 5K is. Like 5Ks, and they should be so uncomfortable, like from the gun to finish, like they're just horribly uncomfortable. And that's what I'm trying to do so hard. And I just think, you know, I'm working hard and I know I think I'm doing the right things, but I also want to be realistic with myself. And I think if I was to shoot for a sub 15 in July, and we're in May already, for me and like where I'm at and the training I've had and the training I've done, I just don't think that's realistic for me right now, honestly. And you know me, you know, like I'm not afraid to, like, you know, I blow my load loads of times in workouts and in races, and I'm not afraid of that at all. Like, I will absolutely explode and implode in a race, no problem. You know, I have no qualms with that. This is just me being realistic, I think.
I've seen a lot of brilliant race photos of you with your loving life face on.
Yeah, and so, like, I don't care about, you know, having the first split being like a mile PB and then the last one being like a recovery run and it's all in the same race, you know, that's no problem to me. But just realistically, I think, yeah, I don't know. I'd have to have a good look at it. I think if I was to be honest, I think I need to be shooting for low 15, like 15. If I ran sub 15:10 in July, I think that's both realistic for me and I'd be absolutely delighted with it. Sub 15:10. Oh. I think that also aligns with, you know, if you look at, you know, these running calculators and stuff, and I know that's all, those things aren't, you know, they're not the Bible in there, but a lot of them, they're pretty accurate. You know, and I think if I was to run a sub 15:10 in a summer's day in Chicago with you in a couple months, I think that puts me right where I need to be to actually once and for all, not just get into sub 225 shape, but to actually run a sub 225. And yeah. So that's where I'm at mentally.
I agree. But don't you think it's kind of annoying when you run like running 15:08, it's like, just go for sub 15, man.
Yeah, just do it. Just, what are you doing? What are you doing with those 8 seconds?
I don't know. What I'm going to push for is to run. It'll be interesting to see if we're in the same heat. I'm not sure what the heats are like at these Tracksmith races, but if we're not, I would like to try and run my race and then pace a bit of yours so I can take you out at 14:59 pace.
Because you know for a fact, if you pace me for 14:59, you know I'm going to be on your heels.
You'll be clipping my heels.
Yeah, I'll be clipping your heels until I implode. Until we're...
Well, thanks for joining me, man. I know you've got to do some driving in a minute, but appreciate you checking in. Thanks, everyone, for listening in. We'll be back with you all next week. And until then, stay safe and train hard.
Sir, take it easy.